Well, we are going to talk about joy today. And so all of you people who are inclined toward joy, this is your day. And if we've got any folks that don't particularly like joy or are suspicious of people who seem to have joy, then we're just going to annoy you a little bit while we do this. We have this children's song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And we sing that with little children. And often when we hear them sing that song, we kind of inwardly mourn for the days when reality comes to visit them and they'll suddenly find out that's not true anymore. We sort of mourn for that loss of innocence, that suddenly the joy, 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 joy is at some distance. It's in the childhood memories. What we want to say this morning, though, is that there is joy in Christ. That there's joy and it is meant to be ours. That there's joy and it is as real to us as love, as real to us as mercy, as real to us as any of the other virtues and values that we hold dear. Joy. We come into the Christmas season and we sing joy to the world. And what we are reminded of is that there is joy not because of some kind of wave that goes through our innards, but in the Christian life there is objective content for joy. There is hardcore joy. There is foundational joy. There's joy not because you're just on an emotional high, but there's joy because of the realities that are in the Christian faith. And these anchor points are ones that we can tie to no matter what's going on in our life. So that we have joy every day no matter what. We'll have joy anyway. We'll have joy always in every situation. And we have this joy because of some anchor points that I would like to talk about that arise out of Scripture. This is sort of a theology of joy that we want to embrace this morning. And when the angel comes to speak to those in the fields, when the angel talks to those in Luke chapter 2, he says that his job is to tell them good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I am bringing you good tidings of great joy. There is joy because of what we get to hear. There's joy in this news that we have. Gospel, good news. Mark begins the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Indicating that what's going to follow after that is good news. This is something that you should hear, and this news will bring you joy. This news is good. And I think we hear in that something that leaves us sometimes. Because we live in a world where Jesus isn't sometimes considered to be very good news. The old days, there were competing truths, and one group would say they had the truth, and another group would say they had the truth. Nowadays, it's different. Nowadays, you are a bad guy if you believe there is a truth. Nowadays, we've moved past truth. Truth is old hat. Truth is yesterday. Truth is modern. Now we are living in a world where truth is not just relative. Truth is irrelevant. It is so transient. But now in Christ we come and we say, we have heard a piece of news that Christ has come and it gives us great joy. You have the same kind of language that is after the resurrection of Jesus. In talking about the disciples, it will say things like, "And they disbelieved for joy." It was so good you couldn't even imagine it. It was too good to be true. The news that the angels bring as Jesus is born, and the news that the angels bring as they sit beside the open tomb, is the news of joy. And we are the people who have heard the news for joy. Following along behind this notion that joyful news is ours, comes this notion of joyful decision. In Mark, as Mark tells the story of the sower who goes out to sow in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus explains the parable of the sower, he talks about the good soil. And he talks about the good soil that this one takes this seed and receives it with joy. Receives it with joy. Just a while ago, when our brother was reading from Acts chapter 8, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, he hears this word from Isaiah 53, and he hears this word, and it is a bit of news, but it prompts a decision. A decision that you receive this word with joy. A decision that not only do you hear the news, but you decide to take the news of Jesus into yourself and let the news of Jesus transform your life. We have this joyful decision that we have made. Now that's But that's kind of a stretch for some folks, because they would ask, what is your joyful decision? Well, my joyful decision is that I have decided that I've not only heard that the love of God has been given to me in Jesus Christ, but I have decided that for me, in my life, I have decided for me, Jesus Christ has come as the love of God in my life. I have made a decision that I am now going to live out in repentance. I am now going to live out this decision in joyful confession of Jesus. I am going to joyfully die with Christ in baptism, and I am with joy going to be raised from the dead. I have this joyful decision that is a part of my life. That I believe God. I believe God in Christ. I believe myself now in Christ by virtue of my faithful death and God's faithfulness in raising me. I have gone on my way rejoicing from that watery grave. And I have that decision as an anchor point for my joy. I tie to it. I wrap myself to that I am now raised with Jesus Christ. So you get all joyful about dying with Christ and being raised with Christ? Yes. Yes. Because if I have died with Christ and I have been raised with Christ, then there's some things that are true. There's some things that are true. There's some things that are so good that the Holy Spirit now lives in me. That's so good that the Holy Spirit bears as fruit in my life joy. And this is something that I know that the Holy Spirit is within me relentlessly busy bearing the fruit of the Spirit in me. And a part of that Spirit is joy. That there's some things I can think about that we heard this morning, that I am forgiven. I mean, when you were talking about forgiveness, as you tried to share with us the meaning of the Lord's Supper for you this morning and helping us to see it through your lenses, the powerful news of forgiveness, forgiven. To hear the language of Romans 8, verse 28, that now God is so built into my life that He is intent on turning everything that I do, everything that is good or bad around me, that He is now turning that toward the good. But if you read down to the end of Romans 8, that now nothing will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This decision that I've made avalanches blessing into my life. Avalanches blessing after blessing after blessing into my life. And that my life here now has a certain place. And so this third piece that grows out of the study of how the word joy is used in Scripture not only talks about a joyful news and a joyful decision that is made, but it also talks about, if you'll permit me, a joyful condition, a joyful state that is not mine. This is where this word joy is used in regard to the parable of the talents. We know the parable of the talents. The master gives out five talents and two talents and one talent, and he goes on a journey, and while he's gone, the three servants do what they do with those talents, and when he comes back and he talks to the five talent man and the two talent man, they say that they've been busy and they've doubled their talents, and he says to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." And so there's that picture of entering into the joy. And I want you to think about that this morning. That we as Christians have entered into the joy. Now we have heard the good news of great joy. Now we have heard the news that we have received with joy, and we have gone with that joy and are on our way rejoicing even now. But as good and faithful servants, we have entered into the joy of our Lord. But this is the air we breathe. We don't go around looking for joy any more than a goldfish in a bowl goes around and looks for water. I want us to hear this notion that in Christ, joy is the atmosphere. It is the state in which we live. And so we don't go up and down and enjoy like the stock market, but we live in the joy of the Lord. Whose joy is it? It's not my joy. What if I'm responsible for my joy? Well, it's going to be tough. But what if my joy, the joy that I live in, the joy that I sense, doesn't even come from me? I'm not responsible for being a joyful person. I'm responsible for receiving the joy that comes to me. The joy that comes in the news, that comes in the decision, that comes in the state that I live in every day. I don't know if you have that sense of living in the state of God's joy. But what if we embraced some language that we know? What if we believed that if we prayed, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," in that very prayer, we would be embracing the reign of God's joy over us. Is there joy in heaven? There is more joy in heaven over the salvation of one than over the safety of the 99. We hear that language. There's more joy in heaven. There's joy in heaven. May there be joy on earth as it is in heaven. When we speak that kingdom language, we understand that. When we read the language of the early church gathering in Acts chapter 2, they met together. They met together for fellowship and prayer and to break bread. And they continued in the apostles' teaching. And they were knit together by their faith. And they had this life that you see played out there in the early chapters of the book of Acts. They had not made just a decision about their faith. They had entered into a new economy. They had entered into a new kingdom. They had entered into a new state. And now that state was characterized by this great joy. It is where they lived. It's what they were. It was the air they breathed. And as we think of this joy and this state, the Apostle Paul goes on to add another piece to this at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as he does this, he talks about another element to this great joy. He says, "For what is our hope? Our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes. Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." So you have this joyful news, and you have this joyful decision, and you have this joyful condition, and then you have this joyful people. Not just the fact that these people are joyful, but that you have made a decision that these people are your joy. Not heads and all. Funky folks, different kinds of folks, all kinds of folks, everyone who Paul knows who is in Jesus Christ, is those people are his joy. You are my joy and my glory. Paul has this idea that when he gets to heaven, everybody he's helped find Jesus is going to be there with him, and he's going to look around and he's just going to go, "Yes, yes." And when we step into that life where we say, everybody that we were in church with, everybody that we shared the Lord's Supper with, everybody that we gathered together to do mission work or to put money together to go to some place that had been blown away by a tornado, everybody that we'd had fellowship with like that, all of these people, when we gather, when we think of one another, we think joy. Joy. Joy in the people. So if I'm going to pitch my tent of joy, I need four tent pegs at least to pitch this tent. And so this morning I want to pitch this tent using these four that are found in the way this word joy is used in Scripture. And if you know where there's a fifth tent peg, that's fine. We'll make a bigger tent. But I want to hammer down over here where the news gives me joy. And hammer down over here where the decision gives me joy. And entering into the joy of the Lord, the condition of joy, gives me joy. And being with those who are in Christ, who are being formed into the likeness of Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit as an extension of the grace of God, that these people give me joy. So somebody says, "How you doing, Ed?" Then my joyfulness is not going to be based on something merely personal and gastric. like, well, I ate good food last night, so I'm feeling pretty good about life. Regardless of what's going on, these four truths give you joy. It's a content. It's objective. This is not based in hardly any feeling you can imagine, but it is the joy that gives you the great joy in Christ. So, I've got the joy down in my heart. I've got the holy hope that heckles heathens. And there's other things that you can say with that. But the joy is not just for kids. Not just for kids. Embrace it. It is our birthright because of what we've heard and what we've decided and where we stand and who we are. Let's stand and sing together.